Welcome to the Level Up English podcast, the best place to come to practice the English language, learn about the British accent and culture, with me, your host, Michael Lavers. Hello, English learners, and welcome back to the Level Up English podcast. Hope you're having a fantastic week so far, and I hope you're ready for an exciting, useful, interesting, and more adjectives, perhaps, episode today. How are you doing? To give you a bit of a preview, today I want to talk about parallelism. I think, is that right? It really is a tongue twister, this word. Parallelism. I don't know. To be honest, I've never heard that word said out loud before. So I'm not exactly sure how you say it, where you put that stress. See, even us native speakers have problems with stress as well. But this is a type of grammar in English that's really, really useful, and it's not as difficult as it sounds. So basically, we have this word parallel. That is a common word, parallel. If two things are parallel, they are side by side. So you could say the park is parallel to the road, to the street. It means they're side by side. So parallel is a really useful term in directions, and it's also useful in maths if you're interested in mathematics and stuff like that. So we're going to get into that in just a second today. I do want to remind people about my email community. This is something I don't mention so often, but we have a lot of people over there signed up for free lessons and updates from me. So if you go down in your podcast description, there should be a link that says free lessons. That's right. So if you sign up to this email community, I will send you 5 free lessons from Level Up English via email. So you can join them for free and there's no strings attached, which means there's nothing else you have to do. So you can sign up. If you decide to stay on the email community, you will get 2 emails a month. So I don't want to, you know, overwhelm you with emails all the time. You get 2 a month. Both emails will be on a Thursday. And I will give you some updates on what I've been doing with my content and Level Up English. It's the first place I go to update people on new projects and things like that to get you to get ideas from you. And I'll also send a little mini lesson. I call it Michael's Midweek Motivation. So you get some motivation and some lessons and often learn some vocabulary or something like that. And I always encourage people to reply and practice what they've been learning as well. So if you want to sign up to that, again, there's a link in your podcast description, or go to my website and go right to the bottom of the page. There's a place to sign up. So that's a place to go for free lessons. I'll leave that as my little advert today, if you don't mind, but let's get into the podcast now. So let's talk about briefly this concept of parallelism. This is being parallel. Another term for this is a parallel structure. And basically what this means is within a sentence in English, different, what would you say, features of the language should be kept the same, kept consistent. And if that does not happen, it sounds unnatural, it's difficult to understand. And I'll give you an example in a second, because it's quite hard to describe without an example. But the reason I'm talking about this is because I do a lot of writing corrections for the kind members of Level Up English. And one thing I notice quite a lot is people getting confused with these parallel structures and not understanding that you can't change in the middle of a sentence. So I thought I would try to clear things up for everyone on the podcast today. And as I said before, I've got some in my notes here, a bit more about the word parallel. Parallel are things that are side by side. And especially in maths, it always has an equal distance between them. So for example, if you have two roads that are parallel, that means they're going side by side. They're not going away from each other or towards each other. They're going that same kind of angle, the same distance between them towards a place. And we can also use it for ideas and concepts as well. Let's say you and I have a similar opinion. We could say our ideas are parallel to each other or something like that, which means just like those roads, they are kind of aligned, connected, right? You have similar beliefs there. They don't clash with each other. Okay, so it's a useful word. I may not have done the best job of explaining it, but that's parallel. In the grammar, the grammatical sense, this is where all forms have to follow the same pattern to create a sense of balance and a natural feeling to the language. So there's that sense of balance here in that word parallel. This works for many different things, such as verb tenses. It works for noun phrases, adjectives, adverbs, and other things like that. So it just, things have to stay consistent in a sentence. Let's look at a few examples now. This is what you've been waiting for to clear things up. So if we have a verb phrase, like singing, for example, singing is a verb. We have to say she likes singing, dancing, and playing the piano. So you might see it's actually quite simple. All we're doing here, this parallelism, is saying singing, dancing, playing. Every single verb form is in ing, continuous form. So that's what we're talking about. That is a parallel structure. If I were to say she likes singing, to dance, played the piano. It's very confusing, isn't it? It's very confusing. Every verb was a different form, right? So keep them the same. And that goes for any kind of sentence, even a long, long sentence. So a couple more examples now. One with a noun phrase, because nouns follow the same rule. This project requires dedication, hard work, and perseverance. If I were to say this project requires dedication and persevering, that would be wrong, because we've got dedication as a noun, persevering as a verb. So see, that's not parallel, because they're not the same. So we have to have noun, 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 right? If we are making a list of something, they should all be in the same form, basically. Dedication, hard work, perseverance. All of those are nouns. So that is another example of being parallel in grammar. Let's do two more before I get into the main part of the episode. Adjective phrases. If you're describing a night, you could say, it was a cold, dark, and stormy night. A cold, dark, and stormy night. So, cold, dark, stormy. Adjective, adjective, adjective. Right? It was a cold, dark, and running night. It doesn't make sense. That doesn't mean anything. But also, it is grammatically incorrect, because we cannot say adjective, adjective, verb. Okay, so that is not parallel. Let's look at a clause now. C-L-A-U-S-E. Not Santa Claus. But in grammar, a clause is like part of a sentence. It's the basic structure of a sentence, like subject, verb, object, something like that. I go home is a clause. So this one, he not only enjoys reading books, but also watching movies. So here, the first clause is we've got reading books, and then the second clause is watching movies. Reading books, watching movies. Again, it's reading, watching. We have to keep those the same. In this case, ing form. Does that make sense? If you're wondering why we do this, basically, these parallel structures create a sense of balance and clarity, which means it makes it clear, easy to understand, and it just sounds better. Just sounds better. You know, not everything in language has a really good reason, but it sounds better. And it, as I said, it's easy to understand. If you do not use these structures in a parallel way, it will be more confusing for the listener. So it's really, really important to use these structures if you want to convey your message clearly, or if you want to improve your writing. Writing is a great way to practice grammar like this. Here's another example of a mistake you could make. And listen to how weird this sounds. So for my hobbies, I like to run, swimming, and to play tennis. Does that sound weird for you? Right. We wouldn't say it like that. I like to run, swimming, and to play tennis. It's kind of understandable, but we've got two infinitives, to run, to play. That's fine, but we cannot say to run and swimming, that gerund. So we could say two options. I like running, swimming, and playing tennis. That's perfect. The other option is I like to run, to swim, and to play tennis. That's also perfect. So it doesn't matter which one you use in this case, because with like, you can use both. Just make sure it's the same. Make sure it's consistent. Consistency is really important in English in many areas. That word consistent means keeping things the same, not changing anything. So what I want to talk about today, now I've spent half the episode rambling about the grammar, I want to talk about travel because I love travel and I thought it could make it fun. So I want to talk about some travel memories I have, some things I've done before, while using this grammar to give you an example. And then to make it a little bit interactive, at least in my mind, I want to ask you to respond. You could just think about it if you're working, maybe. If you're driving or walking, you can say it out loud. Or if you have some time, you could leave a comment. So go to levelupenglish.school/podcast223 and leave a comment at the bottom of the page with your answers, with your own examples. Tell me some memories, some experiences that you've had using parallelism. And also try to say that word. Can you say that word and not trip up? It's very difficult. Maybe say it three times. Okay, so the first travel memory I want to talk about is my time spent in the mountains. I've had some great times in the mountains before. For example, I've been hiking, I've been skiing, and sipping on hot drinks in my tent. So did you notice we had these parallel verb structures here? Hiking, skiing, sipping. Hiking, skiing, sipping. So, for example, I've done a lot of hiking. I've done a lot of hiking and mountain climbing and things like that. Skiing, I tried one time when I was younger in Bulgaria. That was pretty fun. I would love to do it again, but I guess it's quite expensive in many places to try that. It's a lot of effort to go and do that. And the last one I think is the nicest memory, sipping on hot drinks. My best memory sounds really, really majestic. I was on a mountain, like really high up on a mountain in Corsica, the island of Corsica. I had my tent on this mountain, right from my tent door. It's not really a door, but the opening of my tent, I could see the sun setting behind other mountains. And I made like a hot chocolate. So I got into my sleeping bag. I was sipping on my hot chocolate, looking at the sunset. It was an amazing experience. And then, of course, I woke up to, you know, the sun again shining over different mountains. But it's a great way to wake up and see that beautiful view. So yeah, that was a good experience. Let's go to another one then, another travel experience. Traveling in the Balkans can be a bit tougher than Western Europe. The Balkans is the region to the east of Europe, east of Italy, like, I guess, Croatia and Bosnia and these countries. I've been to a few of them now. Really, really beautiful places there. And it can be a bit tougher. I think, first of all, the language is generally harder for an English speaker, I would say. And the infrastructure is a little bit less organized. You know, in say, in Paris, you know, there's all these public transport things. You can do things so easily. But in the Balkans, it's a little bit harder, not too much harder. But to travel there, you need careful plans, some language ability, and a certain amount of resilience. It may not be true, but it's a good example. So could you catch the parallel phrases here? They were all nouns, right? Careful plans, language ability, and a certain amount of resilience, which is also a noun. So I think it does help to plan because, yeah, there isn't always great public transport over there. Language ability helps a lot because in my experience, in some countries, English was not always that strong. So some basic language was very useful and people seemed to appreciate that as well. And some resilience. Resilience means you have to be tough. You have to be a bit willing to go through difficult experiences. Right? The adjective would be resilient. Are you a resilient person? Can you withstand difficulties? It would be wrong if I said you need careful plans, language ability, and resilient, because that is noun, noun, adjective. We need to keep everything in this list as a noun. Hope that makes sense. Okay, let's do another one now. I've got a few more travel experiences to share. And this time, really listen carefully and try to pick out what parallel structure you can hear. Like is it going to be a noun, a verb, something else? Have a listen. Before the pandemic, I spent 1 month in Thailand. And my time in Thailand was a long, relaxing, and eye-opening experience. Did you get this one? These were adjectives, right? So we had long, relaxing, eye-opening. That's a compound adjective, but it's still an adjective. So long, relaxing, eye-opening, right? We couldn't say long, relax, eye-opening, for example. But yeah, it was great. It was really nice. It was a month. It felt like a nice long time. I really got comfortable there. It was incredibly relaxing. I didn't have too many things to worry about, which was lovely. And it was eye-opening. It was eye-opening, which means, really good word here, it kind of opened my mind. It allowed me to see and learn new experiences. So if you have an eye-opening experience, it means you do something that kind of changes your perspective on life. You know, let's say, actually, here's a good example. Before I went to Thailand, I really wasn't much of a foodie. A foodie is someone who loves food. I didn't really care about food that much. But the food in Thailand was so good that I kind of started to like food more generally after that. So in that sense, it was an eye-opening experience because it changed my perspective on food. It's crazy. So for better or for worse, I enjoy food a bit more than I used to. So let's go to another one now. This one might be a bit harder. Not only do I prefer traveling by train, but I also enjoy the scenic views it offers. This is a more advanced structure here. Not only do I blank, but I also blank. So it's kind of saying, not only do one thing is true, but another thing is also true. It's a great structure, advanced structure, to add a second point to what you want to say. So here, the parallel structure is the clause We have I prefer and I enjoy, right? It would be wrong if I said, not only do I prefer traveling by train, but I have also enjoyed the scenic views. See, here we've got present tense and then present perfect tense. It can make it sound a little bit weird, right? So I prefer, I enjoy. We've got subject and we've got a base present simple verb. So that's how we keep it parallel here. But yeah, I really do prefer traveling by train. I love many types of transport and travel, but something about going by train, despite its inconveniences and occasional lateness, it can be really good. And notice how I just did another parallel structure. I said, despite its inconveniences and occasional lateness. Now, it's a longer sentence, but if we shorten it down, despite the inconveniences and lateness, I still like it. So I can't say despite the inconveniences and late, because that's an adjective. I have to say lateness to keep them both nouns. So you're starting to see the grammar here, maybe. People might say how freeing a car can be. You sit in a car, you can go anywhere you want. But I think there's nothing that can be better, really, than sitting on a train, getting like a hot drink or some food, looking at the view go by out the window, and not worrying about, you know, where you have to park. And, you know, you can take your mind somewhere else. You don't have to focus on where you're going. It's such a relaxing thing. And if there do happen to be some loud babies on the carriage, put on some headphones, listen to some music. It's great. I love it. I don't get how people can't like it. But yeah, let me know. What do you think of trains? Give me your own example using a clause like this. Let's do three more experiences now. This one is a more recent one, and this was a really, really hard one. After I got COVID in Georgia, I walked around sluggishly, slowly, and with tired eyes. So this is true. I got COVID on the plane on the way to Georgia, and I was incapacitated, which means I was unable to do anything. I was just in bed like a zombie for 2 whole weeks. It was really, really horrible. Every day I would have to order food. Luckily, I could order food by my app, but really horrible experience. And after I got COVID, when I started to get a bit better, yeah, I did walk around. I explored Tbilisi for one day, like an hour, and I was sluggish and slow. So here we're using the adverbs. I walked around sluggishly and slowly. Sluggishly, if you like, you can think of it like a slug, like the little insect, like just really, really low energy, really kind of moving in a heavy way, right? So I moved around and with tired eyes. So this is interesting because we say adverb, adverb, and then we say with tired eyes, adjective, noun. So why is that not parallel? How can we do that? So another thing to mention here is when we say like and with, something like and with, this introduces a new grammatical structure. So here we're modifying the I, the subject, rather than walked. I will do my best to put this in the members section of the course. I'll put like a full lesson over there, so it should be clearer for you. But in this sentence, we've got I walked around sluggishly and slowly. These two adverbs, they are adding to the verb. Sluggishly connects to walked. I walked sluggishly. The next part, with tired eyes, that's not saying walked with tired eyes. It's not connected to walked. It's connected to I. I had tired eyes. The walking is separate. It's not connected. So when you add and with, it creates that new grammatical structure that connects to the original subject. So that's a way to avoid being parallel. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'll write it up to make it clear if I can on the notes. Was it, I think it was before, yeah, before I went to Georgia, I went to Boston. So because of COVID, I had a terrible time in Georgia. I'm sure it's a great place though. But in Boston, in America, I had a fantastic time, and I did a lot of stuff there. I was there for 3 weeks, and I traveled around Boston by boat, on foot, and on public transport. So here's an interesting one. What is parallel here? In this one, it's the prepositions. Prepositions are parallel. So I traveled around Boston by boat, on foot, and on public transport. We've got by, on, and on. Before each one, we've got a preposition here, and that's important. However, you can sometimes omit, which means remove, a preposition if it's repeated. So normally we say travel by boat. When you're talking about feet, you say travel on foot. So it's a different preposition, by boat, on foot. Public transport, I think you could say both, really. I travelled by public transport, I travelled on public transport. To me, they both sound good. I think they're both possible. Normally, if you say car or bus, you say by. But you could say by boat, on foot, and public transport. You know, you don't need to say that on twice if you don't want to. But there's that one. Yeah, I had some great trips. If you do go to Boston one day, take as many boat trips as you can. They're really, really fun, and you get to some nice places. And it's pretty cheap too. It's not that expensive. Let's do one more now. This is more something that I love to do on the weekend. Recently in the UK, I've been spending my weekends doing some hiking, some exploring, and relaxing in nature. So I love hiking, I love exploring, and relaxing in nature. Here we are paralleling, that's not a word, but you know what I mean. We're making these gerunds parallel. A gerund is an ing verb that is acting as a noun. So we've got hiking, exploring, relaxing. I love hiking, exploring, and relaxing in nature. Okay, keep them the same, right? And I really have been. It's been so nice recently just to go for a walk and enjoy the peace and the flowers coming up everywhere. There's a thing that many councils and towns around the UK are starting to do, which is called No Mow May. No Mow May, which basically means in the spring, people do not cut the grass anymore, which allows all these beautiful flowers to come up, and it's much, much more colourful and beautiful than previous years. Really nice. And of course, many, many more bees and insects and butterflies as well. So that's a... Maybe if you do want to come to the UK, come around like April, May. I think May would be a great time to come. Hopefully there won't be any rain, though. It does tend to rain at this time of year, but luckily not this year. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I think I'll leave that there. I've given you some of my experiences traveling along with some parallel structures. I really hope after 7 examples, I've got this point clear to you and you now understand the importance of keeping these features the same, parallel in your language. And the best way to practice this yourself is to practice, is to write it down, to speak it out loud, whatever you can, and see if you kind of can do one for each structure as well. But okay, I think I'm going to quickly say a thank you to a couple podcast reviews now, and then I've got a quote to give you and stuff like that. I'll tell you about the private podcast. So one review here from Victor Pogudin, who says, "Awesome podcast. Thank you very much. I hope you're doing well. I have been listening to your podcast for more than a year. I'm originally Russian, but I live in London. Your podcast is beneficial for understanding the British accent and culture. Every topic is like an answer to a soul request. Sometimes I find it so spiritual. My favourite episode is about the zombie apocalypse. It was so much fun. I like the way you do it. Cheers, Victor. Thank you, Victor. That's amazing to hear. I love that comment you made about being spiritual and then also zombie apocalypse. I don't think that's what you meant, but I don't think a zombie apocalypse is spiritual. But but yeah, I'm glad you like that. I love that kind of more spiritual side of things as well, and getting deep into questions. I think that's really fun, and it's nice to make language learning a little bit more interesting rather than just grammar. So yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're enjoying London, Victor. Don't know how long you've been here. So let's do one more from Bira Fahad from Saudi Arabia, who says, I'm on podcast number 219. I think I've heard all your episodes and I'm enjoying listening to them. Thank you. That's amazing. Well done, or congratulations for getting to so many. That's a lot of episodes to listen to, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for keeping up with me. Hope it's useful. So, as you might know, every Friday I release a private podcast episode, and this week will be no exception. So this week I'm going to be talking about something different, which is tips on how to leave your comfort zone. It's something I've spoken about before, but I think it's such an important thing for language learners, and it's something I'm very passionate about that I think it's worth repeating again. And I've also got some new things to talk about as well, like a really good quote that I read that I think will be beneficial to you. So if you want to listen to that, you can become a member at levelupenglish.school and click on the members button at the top of the page. There's also a little members link in your podcast show notes, hopefully, where it will take you there directly. So for members, that will be available this Friday. I'll see you then. Let's end now with a quote from the great Carl Sagan, who says, somewhere, something incredible is waiting to be known. Somewhere, something incredible is waiting to be known. It's a nice passive structure there too. It's waiting to be known, this passive voice, waiting for someone to know about it. Learn from that quote whatever you think you need to. I'll leave it here for now. Thank you so much for watching or listening, and I will see you on a future episode. Goodbye, everyone. You have been listening to the Level Up English podcast. If you would like to leave a question to be answered on a future episode, then please go to levelupenglish.school/podcast. That's levelupenglish.school/podcast. And I'll answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening.